This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An explosion near an ammunition dump in southern Afghanistan killed 7 U.S. soldiers and wounded 3 others on Thursday, the U.S. Army said. U.S. Central Command said in a statement the soldiers were killed when working near an arms cache in the southern province of Ghazni. An interpreter was also injured and another soldier was missing. Nearly 2 million people are expected to exhaust their state unemployment benefits in the first half of the year without access to more government aid or a regular paycheck, according to a study released Thursday. The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities based its study on Labor Department data of jobless workers who began receiving regular unemployment checks in the last half of 2003. Republicans who control Congress say a third extension of the program providing 13 weeks of emergency benefits isn't necessary with unemployment declining, but Democrats hope to force an about-face on the issue in an election year. Facing a new Democratic frontrunner in John Kerry, George W. Bush's reelection campaign is quietly shifting gears, preparing for the possibility that it will confront a war hero and current senator. But the line of attack is the same. Whether Howard Dean or Curry, the Democrats' nominee would be a left-leaning New Englander who wants to raise taxes and reverse course on Iraq, campaign officials and Bush advisors say.
I just got attacked by Robert Novak.
That's New Hampshire activist Brad Carr, who has filed an assault complaint against CNN pundit Robert Novak for allegedly assaulting him outside a New Hampshire restaurant on Tuesday. In an IE America exclusive interview, Carr explains what happened.
I followed Robert Novak out and confronted him about the Valerie Plame incident, and I called him a traitor for outing a CIA agent, which is a federal offense, which he's not being held accountable for. He was heading towards his bus, and he turned around and grabbed me and shoved me and attempted to strike me. And some people who were standing there prevented him from doing that.
Anti-media groups have called for Novak to issue a public apology and to hand in his resignation from CNN. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
A giant snowball stopped Dutch trains in their tracks Wednesday on a key route, and young pranksters thrilled by a rare snowfall were the prime suspects. Traffic on the Apeldoorn-Amersfoort route that also leads to Berlin was temporarily suspended. Weather experts say the first heavy snowfall for years could cause major traffic disruption. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Why is it that our national policymakers are so robustly optimistic and filled with such can-do enthusiasm when it comes to shoveling billions of our tax dollars into big federal projects favored by wealthy campaign donors, but fall into dismal depths of negativity and dispirited cries of no-can-do pessimism when it comes to paying for the things the majority of us Americans want and desperately need? Take health care. A glaring national need not only for the 43 million people without any coverage, but also for the many millions more who have insurance policies that are so inadequate, expensive, and riddled with insurance company loopholes that their coverage is next to useless. The prestigious Institute of Medicine has just issued a report saying that our country has a swelling health care crisis and that policymakers should respond with a universal program to provide affordable, high-quality health care to all. How did policymakers respond? With a big no way. Tommy Thompson, Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, led the naysaying. "I just don't think it's in the cards," he shrugged. "I don't think that administratively or legislatively it's feasible." This guy is America's top healthcare official, faced with a crucial issue that personally affects the majority of Americans, yet he whimpers that good healthcare for everyone is simply beyond America's ability, so he won't even try for it. Ironically, the Institute's report and plea for action came the same day that Bush announced that he wanted to spend unlimited billions of our tax dollars to build a space station on the moon and send astronauts to Mars. His political aide said the futuristic Mars shot was a reflection of Bush's optimistic nature. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine, but how about we bring some of that optimism down to Earth where we all live? They should at least try to meet the real needs of real people in the here and now. If they're not up to this job, let's find someone who is.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Thursday evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us the phone number here if you'd like to join in. 1-800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. We will have some fun with Simple Scotty McClellan tonight, the White House spokesman. His answers are getting more and more bizarre. He's starting to sound like the people I read about in textbook cases in not Psych 101, but what would it be, Kathy? Psych 103, abnormal psychology. I guess it'd be second level psychology courses. He's really starting to sound like an insane man, really, really. But we'll have some fun with him tonight as he carefully dances around all the reporters' questions about the Bush administration's many lies and distortions about Iraq's WMDs. And you can play along. You can tell me whether or not McClellan actually answers a single question during the press briefing. You know I wouldn't say that if I didn't already know that he doesn't, but what the hell. I watched the entire debate in South Carolina among the, seven candidates, still Democratic candidates. And it was, I took some notes. One of the notes here says, go Al Sharpton. I've said, no matter what Al Sharpton would do, I probably couldn't forgive him for the Tawana Brawley fiasco 15 years ago. Okay, maybe I can. Al Sharpton is incredibly, like all of them, incredibly articulate. All of these guys, when you watch these potential nominees, these candidates, that's the first entire debate that I've watched from start to finish. We listened to a bit of it coming in the car on NPR and then switched to MSNBC and watched the remaining part of it. And what was impressive to me is how what a powerful group of candidates the Democratic Party has here. Now, there's a couple of them I'm not interested in personally, but as a group, to listen to them articulate answers to questions, and some of the questions from Tom Brokaw were definitely pointed. That was another thing that I noticed, was how often Tom Brokaw got his question wrong. Like so many of these guys, media whores, they put the answer to the question in the question, what they think is the answer. And then it turns out that their supposition regarding the question was all wrong. But each of these candidates corrected them. Dennis Kucinich, Wesley Clark, Al Sharpton, John Kerry. And each instance that I saw where the question from Tom Brokaw contained within it a half-truth or a distortion, these candidates would stop immediately and correct him on it. And I think that's a good sign, because I think when one of these guys finally gets nominated and goes into debates with Bush, if there are any such thing, the deck is going to be stacked against them by the collection of horrors that we call the national television media, the ones that will be handling the so-called debates probably in October of this year. So it's good to see that all seven of these people know how to correct the question before they attempt an answer. The difference between all seven of these people, even the ones I don't like, and the mush-mouth George W. Bush is astonishing. I can't wait. I just wonder what Karl Rove is going to do about having at least one debate with George W. Bush. I just wonder how he's going to handle that, because any one of these people, with the exception of Lieberman, who I'm reminded of the debates so-called back in 2000. Was it 2000, Kathy, when Lieberman and Cheney would debate? And Lieberman, I've never seen anything like that. Lieberman acted as though Cheney were his master and Lieberman were the lapdog. Here, let me curl up on your lap, Mr. Cheney, and you scratch my ears or other parts of my anatomy that will make me feel good. It was horrifying. So with the exception of Lieberman, and once again, I think Lieberman is making it very clear that he's a Republican. You can say that some of these guys are Democrat light and a Republican light, and you'd be absolutely correct. But Lieberman is not even Republican light. He is a full-blown, all-stops-out Republican. And like Zell Miller, I just wish the hell he would get out of the Democratic Party and stop polluting it. Just go. Get out of here. You're not a Democrat. Scram. Full disclosure, if you listen to this program, you know this is true. I'm a Dennis Kucinich supporter. But once again, I no offense to Dean supporters or Kerry supporters or Edwards supporters or any of you folks, Sharpton, Clark, whatever, no offense. But once again, I think to me, just to me, okay, well, and to Kathy, Dennis Kucinich demonstrated that he is from the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. There's no question about it. I'm not going to say these other guys are not Democrats. They want to take the label of Democrat and try to hold to the line as much as they think they can, that's fine. But once again, Kucinich, in answer after answer, made it extremely clear that he does represent the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. And again, that's no offense to any of you folks who are backing these other candidates. God bless you for it. And when my man doesn't make it, I will jump on your wagon and join you. But it's astonishing to me that Kucinich is up there. Every time I hear him open his mouth, I hear a Democrat. With no equivocation, no hedging, none. And I do hear the hedging to greater or lesser degrees with every other one of the candidates, with the possible exception of Sharpton. Sharpton and Kucinich are, and amazingly, Pat Buchanan on MSNBC in a post-debate back and forth with, what's his name? Who's the host? who's the guy we were just watching on MSNBC that hosted the post-debate thing? It's his show. Chris Matthews. Oh, my God. Boy, I've got to increase my intake of DEHA or whatever the hell you call that, right? Chris Matthews was questioning Pat Buchanan. Buchanan just stated very clearly the two so-called winners of the debate, the two who were most articulate, who most stated categorically their positions as Democrats were Al Sharpton and Dennis Kucinich, and there's no question about that in my mind either. And I don't there's very little that I agree with Pat Buchanan on, but there it is. There it is. And I just don't understand all the phone calls, all the comments, all the emails, everything that I've heard. Well, Mike, I really do agree with you on Kucinich, but I've got to go with Dean, or I've got to go with Clark, or I've got to go with Kerry, because, you know, it's so important to me to kick George Bush's ass out of office, and Kucinich can't win. And that is so, so frustrating to me, because it's just not true. If the American public were really given the choice between George Bush and Dennis Kucinich in a head-to-head contest, I don't think there is any doubt that Kucinich's policies, which are so, so in tune with what America needs, even if so many Americans don't know what they want, I keep thinking how many working-class Americans are going to vote for George Bush on November 2nd this year. It's astonishing how many working class, middle class, people are just, you know, two paychecks away from the street, like Kathy and me, for example. well, actually, we're about 3 months away from the street. But, all right, 4 months. But how many people that are two paychecks away from being homeless who are going to vote for the failed policies of George W. Bush again? It's just unbelievable to me. I don't get it. And here's Dennis Kucinich, whose policies are absolutely the policies of a true Democratic presidential candidate. They're also absolutely the policies upon which this country built its middle class, upon which this country built its strength, upon which this country at one time had a very strong class, agrarian class, or farmers, small business people. And corporations, jobs in this country, everything that Dennis Kucinich stands for and articulates are things that built this country to what it is. Now, again, no offense to the Dean supporters, no offense to the Kerry supporters or Clark or any of these other candidates. You all are backing these people for reasons that you feel are valid, and I certainly respect that. Anybody who backs a Democrat, as far as I'm concerned, has my respect, except Joe Lieberman or Zell Miller. If you say you're a Democrat and you back somebody like Lieberman or Zell Miller, I say you're a hypocritical liar. You're not a Democrat. You are backing a Republican. But any of these other candidates, you know, I have no problem with that. I will tout Dennis Kucinich because I happen to believe in what he says, and I do believe, based on my 40 years of political awareness, a little bit more than that, Kucinich does represent the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. So, anyway, but taken as a whole, watching all of these people, with the exception of Lieberman, what a strong group of candidates. Any one of these people would make mincemeat out of this inarticulate deserter, jackass, freak George Bush, whatever debates Karl Rove allows to occur. I can just see John Edwards chopping George Bush into mincemeat. I can see Wesley Clark dancing on his forehead. I could see Al Sharpton making George Bush even whiter than he already is. I could see John Kerry turning George Bush into the coward deserter that he is in front of the American public, and on and on. And Howard Dean, George Bush wouldn't have a chance against Howard Dean in a debate. So, and as far as Dennis Kucinich is concerned, he would make mincemeat out of this weirdo that squats in the White House. So a powerful group of candidates. I think the Democratic Party, with the exception of Joe Lieberman, I think all of us Democrats, no matter where you fit on that spectrum of Democrats, I think we ought to be happy that we have this kind of a group available. So anyway, your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Strong and he's got I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today?
Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Oh, by the way, former U.S. Marine and U.N. weapons inspector Scott Ritter will be endorsing Dennis Kucinich for president. This will occur in Santa Fe tomorrow. There will be a press conference at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Capitol Rotunda in Santa Fe. And then tomorrow evening in Taos, New Mexico, Scott Ritter will be giving a speech at the Taos Community Auditorium. This is sponsored by the Action Coalition. So you might want to check it out. Tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, Santa Fe at the Capitol Rotunda, Scott Ritter will make his endorsement of Dennis Kucinich. And then tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. in the Taos Community Auditorium. I guess I should repeat this, right, Kathy, because our station in Santa Fe doesn't pick us up until 10 o'clock, right? Okay, well, then just take it, if you don't live in Santa Fe, just take it for the face value that Scott Ritter is endorsing, Dennis Kucinich. Byron is calling from Joplin, Missouri. Hey, Byron.
Hey, Mike, what's happening?
Hey, you are.
Hey, I just got my Sirius radio today, trashed out my XM.
Yeah.
Got tired of all that right-wing talk, man.
On XM?
On XM. It's just ridiculous.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. You don't last too long if you're a left-winger. Hey, my battery might run out here in a minute, so be advised. I didn't hang up.
Okay.
Hey, they were talking about, Bush is a deserter. I was in the Army, and if you're AWOL more than 30 days, that's desertion. Now, Peter Jennings with this on this.
Right.
Last deal with Fox here the other day, as it was asking Clark a question about would he back what Mike said, the author, what's his name, Mike? Yeah, me too.
Mike, that's all right.
Well, he said he wasn't a deserter, he was AWOL, but he wasn't a deserter. That's BS. He was AWOL more than 30 days, he's a deserter.
Yeah, I would think.
And Tom Brokaw on the Tim and Russet show Sunday, he must have been AWOL, or he must have been, out of class or gone for the day when Johnson said he wouldn't run, and if he was given the nomination, he wouldn't accept it. He actually said that Johnson was forced out of office by Nixon.
Well, that's insanity.
Well, certainly it is.
Who said that?
Brokaw did.
Tom Brokaw?
Tom Brokaw said that Sunday on the Tim Russet show. He said that Johnson was forced out of office.
Not by Nixon. Johnson was forced out of office because I think he realized that the American public had so turned against the war and turned against him, and then also because Gene McCarthy kicked his ass. He came in he either won the New Hampshire or came in a strong second in the run up to the 68 election. And I'm forgetting now if Gene McCarthy won or if he came in second, but it was enough to make Johnson give his speech. I think the next night or within a week, I will not seek nor will I accept nomination of my party to serve a second term. It had nothing to do with Nixon. I'm amazed that Brokaw said that.
Well, if you get the transcript and looked at it, that's not the way I took it. The way I took it was he said that Nixon had forced him out. They were talking about the election. That's not the way I took it. I could be wrong. I'm a truck driver. I mean, hell, I'm never wrong. But anyway, I'm down here in Florida trying to get rid of a load. But I always tell you that I'm from Joplin. I want all my people in Joplin to know that. What I listen to.
Right. Where are you in Florida? Near Tampa? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm just east of Tampa a little bit in a little place called Mulberry, Florida.
Mulberry, Florida. That's out there near Plant City, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
hey, listen, we got a break coming. You want to hold on?
My battery's going to die on the air.
All right.
I don't know if it'll last. I'm going to charge it up and call you back later.
All right, Byron.
I was going to call you last night, but you were preempted by some basketball game.
I know. I'm serious. They do that to me. Hey, thanks, Byron. Drive safely, okay?
Hasta.
All right, sir. Take care.
And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world, every night and day.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
young soccer mom says she can speak for herself and she's not saying what some politicians claim she is. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. It happened during a 2001 U.S. Senate debate over a bill to improve automobile fuel efficiency standards. A Democratic senator claimed soccer moms would get upset if anyone changed their SUVs. The measure failed. That result and the comment angered Betsy Rosenberg, a San Francisco reporter and soccer mom.
Those of us who were soccer moms said, "You didn't ask us. We do care about fuel efficiency. That's a plus. That's not a minus. You misspoke for us." So we decided to organize a grassroots campaign and try to educate soccer moms and other concerned Americans about not only the need for more fuel-efficient family-sized vehicles, but the presence of the same in compact sizes.
Rosenberg co-founded a campaign called Don't Be Fueled, Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles. It promotes safer, more efficient automobiles, including minivans and SUVs. It calls for a boycott of huge gas-guzzling vehicles, and the Don't Be Fueled campaign takes issue with the notion that bigger is safer.
And the irony is, the bigger the gas guzzler, the taller the vehicle, the more unsafe you are, and we all are around you, not to mention our children's lungs and contributing to global warming, greenhouse gas buildup. So what's sold as a safer vehicle is au contraire, just the opposite.
Rosenberg says her campaign will continue to push for more clean car options coming out of Detroit. As Rosenberg puts it, she's tired of both U.S. automakers and the federal government dragging their wheels on safer, more fuel-efficient cars. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 past the hour. I think one of the, we're coming back to your calls here in just a minute, but I think one of the most astonishing stories that I saw today in spending a couple hours cruising the internet is a story that about the Japanese self-defense forces that are going to go to Iraq. That's what they're referred to. The Japanese, in order to mollify the psychopath in the White House, Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi's government decided to send several dozen Japanese troops. Now, I'm not exactly sure how many are there already from the Japanese army, the self-defense forces. But here's the story. The Japanese government is paying approximately 10 billion yen, which is about 75 million euros, 10 billion yen to Iraqi tribal leaders to provide bodyguards for the Japanese soldiers who will be in Iraq. A spokesman for Koizumi's office said, "It is rather cheap if we can buy security for our soldiers with that amount of money. In Iraq, oil money is distributed to those tribes. It is more important for the Japanese government to make one-time payments to the leaders than to pay them a salary. A salary. Now, the first contingent of these Japanese soldiers is already in southern Iraq. The main force is scheduled to be sent either at the end of January or in early February. And the Japanese Prime Minister's main concern has been how to protect the lives. I'm not making this stuff up. How to protect the lives of the Japanese soldiers. One of the measures that the Japanese government initially took was to have Dutch forces guard the Japanese soldiers. Last year, Abdul Amir Rika'abi, the powerful leader of an Iraqi tribe, however, visited Japan, and Koizumi made a confidential agreement with him in which Japan would pay a huge amount of money in exchange for protection. Mr. Rika'abi told the Japanese government he would organize 200 to 300 guards to protect Japan's self-defense force soldiers in Iraq. The Iraqi guards will provide 24-hour patrols, and in the event of a terrorist attack against the Japanese soldiers, Dutch troops will help out. One source in the ruling Liberal Democratic Party, which is not liberal and it's not democratic, in Japan, speaking on condition of anonymity, said, quote, the leaders of tribes in this part of Iraq are requesting salaries for their soldiers. If they are killed on duty, they will demand compensation for their deaths, the guards. The Japanese government has to donate $1 million in advance for such compensation. I'm not making fun of Japan, I don't think. I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. Japan, in order to give George Bush a moniker, sends troops to Iraq. But because the Japanese are so concerned that their people are going to be blown to pieces along with the Poles and the Italians and the Americans and whoever else gets in the way over there, they hire Iraqi tribal people to guard their soldiers? Does this make sense to any of you? And they're paying 10 billion yen, which is 75 million euros, for this protection? But we had a name for this back in my old neighborhood in Toledo, Ohio. Nathan is calling from San Francisco. Nathan, welcome to the program.
Hi. While I'm on the subject of Iraq, you were talking about economic policy.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember a few weeks ago that memo that was sent out that talked about how to cheat your employees on the new overtime rules?
Yeah. That was sent out by the Labor Department.
Yeah, and what it reminded me of was the Great Depression. Because in the Great Depression, what happened was there was a big shock. And then we have this spiral where there was less consumption, which led to less demand for labor, less labor used, lower wages for labor, mm-hmm. which meant less purchasing power,
right.
which meant less production, which meant lower wages and fewer people employed.
Right.
And that's what we're going to do now.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big shock. We had the bubble burst. We had the idiot take office. We had the attack in quotes. And now we're doing the same thing. We're going to cut wages. We're going to lower demand. We're not doing much production in this country, but we at least do distribution. We don't need as much of that. And just a spiral. He's putting us into a spiral where the working class is going to be completely destroyed. And it will take something like the New Deal to bring us back if he gets another 4 years.
I don't doubt this at all. I was reading the New York Times today for some reason, the business section, which I usually don't read the business section of any newspaper. I should, but I don't. And cover story, it was either the New York Times business section or the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, was the fact that there is the stock market is about due for another correction, and they're talking about as much as 10 or 15%. It's overvalued right now. And the fact that Greenspan said the other day that interest rates are probably going to go up it just guarantees that there's a train wreck coming. And you take that information from Greenspan, the information that the stock market is inflated once again, and what you just said, you put it all together, we're heading for a train wreck. And maybe that's a good thing, because maybe it will destroy so many American families, so many working class people, that they'll come out of the ether and say, oh, my God, this is George Bush. The problem here, of course, is that George Bush and these Republican thugs have made sure that not only are people in the working and middle class like me going to be destroyed, but so are my grandchildren, and possibly my great-grandchildren will be paying off this bastard's indebtedness that he's done to us. He's done more in 3 years than Ronald Reagan did in eight, and it's just astonishing how many people are going to vote for him unless this train wreck occurs and enough of us are so wounded and so bloodied economically that we Americans come out of the ether and say, this is the worst president in modern history. We've got to get rid of him, one way or the other.
It's funny that you mention Reagan, because Reagan actually got together a group of U.S. companies and used them to manipulate the stock market. And this is well documented, and this group has continued through the Bush years and the Clinton years. And so the stock market is no indicator.
Mm-hmm.
And people should remember that. And the reason it's probably due for a correction is manipulation on the part of our government and its partners.
Yeah, I agree. It's not a very good indicator. But what is left of retirement funds and pension funds, stuff that is in mutual funds, which is a huge part of the New York Stock Exchange, when the stock exchange takes a big hit, when the Dow Jones, all those gold chip stocks, when they drop, when the Standard & Poor's drops in value, it does affect a lot of Americans indirectly, because their pension fund money or their retirement money is tied up. So in that sense, even though it's not a very good indicator, and you're right, I agree with you, of the American economy, it is still something that can hurt retirees and working class people. It can hurt us desperately.
And just one more thing, and then I'll let you go. Well, you'll let me go. the thing that happens in the future is if their retirement accounts aren't worth enough, then they're not going to get paid, and they're not going to do the consumption that we need to fuel the industry and get
right.
the tax money to pay off the debt. So we're getting into this horrible spiral, and it's just like the one we went into through the Great Depression, and I sure hope we get out of it before it's too late.
I hear you. Thanks, Nathan.
Go, Dennis.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. What's more than a spiral? A double helix? Maybe it's like that, what Nathan was saying. I keep thinking of the it's a religious or a spiritual symbol, and I'm not sure from what culture, the symbol of the snake swallowing its own tail. An utter impossibility, but still there it is. And that's how the Bush crime family's mismanagement of especially this economy. If Americans do vote only with their pocketbooks, except in extreme situations, and we are not in an extreme situation, I don't care how much they, from a standpoint of terrorism, I don't care how much these thugs in the White House try to scare us and make us afraid of our own shadows, we are not in a situation of extreme trouble or terror, whatever. So if it's true that Americans vote with their purses and pocketbooks, then I'd say the Bush administration has the rest of this year, and then they're finished. I can't believe that Americans are going to continue to vote for their own economic destruction. I can't. Even the rednecks where I live, even the dyed-in-the-wool Republicans who I don't know. I don't know what they use for reality. I don't know. But even those people have got to, at some point, realize the destruction that this man and his cabinet, his policies, and the Republican Party have done to this country. It's not a matter of political rhetoric anymore. It's not a matter of some smart-ass liberal talk show host sitting here dumping the stuff in the airwaves every night. It's a matter of just people opening their eyes, opening their wallets, taking a look at how many people are dying in Iraq, Americans, how many Iraqis are dying. Take a look at, what, 7, 8, 9 Americans blown to pieces in Afghanistan. Remember, Afghanistan is a free country now. Afghanistan is where the little children can wear white shoes and go fly kites, or whatever that nonsense was that Bush came up with, what, a year ago? I don't even, it's hard to keep all this stuff straight. But American young men and women are going to continue to be blown to pieces, and we are going to continue to snarl in response and wipe out 20 or 30 more civilians. And the karmic debt that's being built here by George W. Bush and his murderers is one that's going to take us 2, 3, 4 generations to acknowledge, to handle, to pay back, to bring back into balance. But most of us Americans vote our pocketbooks. That's why the Clinton team was smart enough to know James Carville and Paul Begala and the people who ran the Clinton campaign in 1992 understood, hey, it's the economy, stupid. It's the economy. Kevin is calling from Tampa. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. Before I get to what I called about, I had a question for you.
Sure.
Did Frank Nitti negotiate that Japanese-Iraq deal?
Isn't that something? Isn't that you send your army, part of your army, to another country, and then you hire bodyguards? What is that? I've never heard of anything like that. That's so through the looking glass. That is so Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, Frank Nitti probably did negotiate the deal. Can you imagine what those Iraqi tribal chiefs were doing? They were saying, you give us a whole bunch of money here.
€75 million.
€75 million and $1 million for every one of our people. We lose, you got a deal, man.
Hey, that's about $100 million.
I can't believe this. I just can't believe it. But this is the kind of world we live in now, apparently.
One other thing, too. I called about the candidates that you were talking a few minutes about.
Yeah.
But also for that previous caller.
Yeah.
And you were asking about, he was asking about when Johnson left office.
Oh, Byron, yeah.
Okay. What happened was, after McCarthy came, he came in second, a very strong second in New Hampshire.
Right.
Bobby Kennedy decided to get in.
That's right.
Johnson dropped out after Kennedy got in.
Yeah, I left, oh, God. Oh, I can't believe that. Yeah, I completely forgot the Kennedy factor. Oh, my God. And then within 7 months, Kennedy was dead on the floor.
Yeah,
in kitchen in San Fran or in where L.A. I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you were talking a little while ago about the 6 Democratic candidates.
Yeah.
And I say 6 because I don't count Lieberman as a Democratic candidate.
No, I don't either.
But actually, when you add the 3 in, and I would do this, I would add the 3 that dropped out: Gephardt, Graham, and Mosley Brown.
Uh huh.
I've been following presidential politics since 1960. That is absolutely the strongest crop of candidates I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All 9 of them have the qualities to be a good president.
I think so. And of the remaining 6, again, while I vehemently disagree with a couple of them on their policies, still, I think all of them are capable to such a greater degree than George Bush of leading this country.
Oh, absolutely. And I heard Bill Clinton say this before. Of course, he gives a lot of political rhetoric,
mm-hmm.
but he said this was a much stronger group than he had to fight back in 92.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never seen or read anything. And I follow politics. I have a political science degree. I have very big interest in history.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is top-notch quality.
I just hope that the American public understands what the Democrats have put together here in terms of the field of candidates. I hope the independents get this. I hope the independents who might appreciate the right-wing tendencies of a Kerry or a Clark or I'm just pissing people off now by saying that, but I'm sorry. The right-wing tendencies of all of these centrist tendencies, oh, God, the centrist tendencies of all these candidates, with the exception of Sharpton and Kucinich, and I hope the independents, I hope even Republicans who have had enough, who are tired of seeing their throats cut by the man they put in office, I hope they would realize that the Democrats have fielded candidates that they can vote for.
Oh, yeah, and you know, and I think that Karl Rove recognizes this because you see where Bush was today?
No.
New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
And you see what's happening.
Let me put you on hold for a second. I'll give you a little more time. Let me put you on hold and I'll come right back.
I hear these words just every place I go. Who are these people? Who elected them? And how do I replace them with some of my friends? Can't you be? Are you listening?
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, 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 Sunday.
Got the flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
It is 5 before the hour. We're talking with Kevin in Tampa. Okay, Kevin, go ahead. Got about a minute here.
Yeah, well, you. There are two things that came out of Iowa and New Hampshire that I think give a good indication of what can happen in November. Both of them had record turnout.
Right.
And when you follow the, whatever they call those polls, the exit polls, the number one issue in both places was who can beat Bush.
Right.
When you hear the polls coming out of South Carolina, Arizona, and New Mexico now, the number one issue is who can beat Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all points to the Democrats are united. They're gonna we're gonna back whoever the nominee is, and Democrats are gonna come out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that.
I hope that's the case. If Iowa and New Hampshire are an indication, I hope that's the case.
You hear the same thing happening in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Guy in South Bush will probably carry South Carolina. But listening to these people in there, they're saying it's a the Democrats are fed up.
Mm-hmm. What you just said, I don't understand, and you're probably right, but I don't understand how Bush could carry South Carolina.
Oh yeah,
160,000, I believe that's the number. 160,000 jobs lost since George Bush illegally assumed office of president. His policies are bankrupt. How many, Fort Jackson is in South Carolina, the largest Army training base east of the Mississippi. There's an awful lot of military in South Carolina. They can't be totally stupid and unaware of what Bush and Rumsfeld.
It's the race card, Mike.
Well, even the race card. You know, there are. I think the ratio between black and white voters in South Carolina is about 1-1.
Get them registered and out to vote.
Well, that's the thing. It has to be. It has to be. But black or white, I don't understand how any working class American in South Carolina, especially, could support Bush. Bush has driven, his policies have driven that state into almost virtual bankruptcy. But not only that, his policies are killing South Carolinians in Iraq and in Afghanistan by the scores, and it's not going to stop. Kevin, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, pal.
Okay, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Quick break. We'll be back. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An explosion near an ammunition dump in southern Afghanistan killed 7 U.S. soldiers and wounded 3 others on Thursday, the U.S. Army said. U.S. Central Command said in a statement the soldiers were killed when working near an arms cache in the southern province of Ghazni. An interpreter was also injured and another soldier was missing. Facing a new Democratic frontrunner in John Kerry, George W. Bush's reelection campaign is quietly shifting gears, preparing for the possibility that it will confront a war hero and current senator. At the same time, there is debate within Bush's administration and inside his reelection headquarters about how hard to strike at Kerry of Massachusetts, who won the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. Nearly 2 million people are expected to exhaust their state unemployment benefits in the first half of the year without access to more government aid or a regular paycheck, according to a study released Thursday. The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities based its study on Labor Department data of jobless workers who began receiving regular unemployment checks in the last half of 2003. Republicans who control Congress say a third extension of the program providing 13 weeks of emergency benefits isn't necessary with unemployment declining, but Democrats hope to force an about-face on the issue in an election year.
I just got attacked by Robert Novak.
That's New Hampshire activist Brad Carr, who has filed an assault complaint against CNN pundit Robert Novak for allegedly assaulting him outside a New Hampshire restaurant on Tuesday. In an IE America exclusive interview, Carr explains what happened.
I followed Robert Novak out and confronted him about the Valerie Plame incident when I called him a traitor for outing a CIA agent, which is a federal offense, which he's not being held accountable for. He was heading towards his bus and he turned around and grabbed me and shoved me and attempted to strike me. And some people who were standing there prevented him from doing that.
Anti-media groups have called for Novak to issue a public apology and to hand in his resignation from CNN. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
Someone lifted a 170-pound bronze statue of Yoda, the Star Wars Jedi Master. The theft from a flatbed truck was reported to police last weekend, and the owner has offered a $1,000 reward for its return. The limited edition bronze is worth up to $20,000. The statue was bolted to a flatbed truck parked overnight at a Pasadena motel, but someone loosened the bolts and grabbed Yoda that night or early the next morning. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Why is it that our national policymakers are so robustly optimistic and filled with such can-do enthusiasm when it comes to shoveling billions of our tax dollars into big federal projects favored by wealthy campaign donors, but fall into dismal depths of negativity and dispirited cries of no-can-do pessimism when it comes to paying for the things the majority of us Americans want and desperately need? Take health care, a glaring national need not only for the 43 million people without any coverage, but also for the many millions more who have insurance policies that are so inadequate, expensive, and riddled with insurance company loopholes that their coverage is next to useless. The prestigious Institute of Medicine has just issued a report saying that our country has a swelling health care crisis and that policymakers should respond with a universal program to provide affordable, high-quality health care to all. How did policymakers respond? With a big no way. Tommy Thompson, Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, led the naysaying. I just don't think it's in the cards, he shrugged. I don't think that administratively or legislatively it's feasible. This guy is America's top health care official, faced with a crucial issue that personally affects the majority of Americans, yet he whimpers that good health care for everyone is simply beyond America's ability, so he won't even try for it. Ironically, the Institute's report and plea for action came the same day that Bush announced that he wanted to spend unlimited billions of our tax dollars to build a space station on the moon and send astronauts to Mars. His political aide said the futuristic Mars shot was a reflection of Bush's optimistic nature. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine, but how about we bring some of that optimism down to Earth where we all live? They should at least try to meet the real needs of real people in the here and now. If they're not up to this job, let's find someone who is.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Here's what I think. You couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. This hour, we will get to these sound bites of simple Scotty McClellan. At the press briefing yesterday, when some of the reporters were hammering the little ass on Weaponsgate. Just a couple of quick emails and back to your phone calls here. This is from Paul from Ellensburg. Jim, I had a disturbing thought a few nights ago about why people who have already lost their jobs still support Bush. I guess Paul wrote this in reference to what we were talking about earlier, about how many people in this country, so-called Republicans, who have just had their asses handed to them. They've got their sons and daughters back in coffins. They've had their jobs taken from them. The air they breathe and the water they drink is going to be befouled to an even greater degree because of Bush policies. It's incredible. And some of these people will still vote for Bush. Anyway, Mike, I had a disturbing thought a few nights ago about why people who have already lost their jobs still support Bush. It could be seen a little like battered woman syndrome. And then he says in parentheses, please don't get uptight, listeners. I couldn't think of a very politically correct way of saying this. Okay. Battered woman syndrome. The administration moves and tells us everything will be okay and then proceeds to beat up America by taking its money and jobs, hurting and killing off our citizens in Iraq. When America begins to complain after being hit, the administration says it's sorry and comes back with measly tax cuts and promise not to do it again. However, here we go again, posed to attack Syria or Pakistan or waiting for another beatdown with the Patriot Act expansion. Each time the government says that it is done, that its mission accomplished, but there is always a new threat on the horizon that restricts our freedom even more. The people that support Bush believe that he really cares about them and won't go off or won't let go of that illusion, even when they are beaten down to the ground. Finally, this leaves some Democrats in the position of the nice guy who sorely wants to kick the crap out of Bush for beating America. However, like most situations I'm comparing this to, if someone goes after Bush, America will be right there to defend him and help clean his wounds and make him better. This behavior confuses Democrats. The bad news is that people in these relationships can't escape them or seek help until they hit rock bottom. The worst news is that if America puts Bush back in office, the abuser might end up, like they sometimes do, killing America. Sorry it sounds so dark, Paul from Ellensburg. Now, I understand. I get your comparison. I don't know that I would put it that way necessarily, but that's a very interesting analogy, a battered wife syndrome, battered woman syndrome. From Maggie, Mike, I would love Dennis Kucinich to be our next president, but look how the media is crucifying Howard Dean and minimizing Kucinich. I scream louder than Dean's famous scream when I listen to corporate media. Dean is not my favorite, but like Kucinich, he is a leader and could squash Bush. The rest of them just follow. Well, I wouldn't say Sharpton is a follower, and Kerry, I don't know. Edwards, I don't know. I'm just tired of hearing anything. I don't mean Maggie did this, but I'm, and I think the candidates have agreed to this. I'm tired of hearing Democratic candidates beat up on each other. And did I hear something tonight, Kathy, in this debate? At some point, somebody said, or maybe it was one of the commentators, that these candidates now have agreed to stop attacking each other. I think I heard that. If I did hear it, well, God bless them. And then regarding the debates tonight, Robert in Orleans writes in, Mike, I thought that moderators of debates were supposed to ask questions and not offer up their opinions and editorialize. Brokaw seemed to want to participate in the debate rather than merely be a moderator. This isn't the first time I noticed this during these debates. Britt Hume argued with the candidates during the New Hampshire debate last week. Mike, I understand that these corporate media whores want to sell their views to everyone and do not really want liberals to be heard, but can't these people, these so-called moderators like Brokaw, just check their personal views at the door and just be moderators? No, I'm afraid that's expecting too much, Robert writes. I'm sorry for expressing a pipe dream to you again. And then he agrees that this is an excellent field of Democrats. Mike, I'd like to ask you a question. As you are older than me, be honest, is this one of the best Democratic presidential primary fields that you've ever seen? Yeah, it is. Yeah. And last one here, and then back to your calls. From our Tokyo bureau chief, Greg, who picked up on what we were talking about, that story about the Japanese hiring bodyguards for their for their troops, their SDF, self-defense forces. Because, see, the United States, when we wrote their Constitution in 1947, 48, whenever it was, they're not allowed to have a standing army. So they have what they call self-defense forces, which is really a standing army. Mike, the story is ridiculous. It is like some kind of bizarre Monty Python sketch. You are not making fun of Japan by sharing the wacky tale. A couple of things from a pissed-off Australian in Tokyo. See, our bureau chief there, Greg, is an Aussie, but he's our Tokyo bureau chief, okay? He writes, the vast majority of the Japanese population are not behind the troop deployment. Now that they have been deployed, the term self-defense force needs to be scrapped. It is the Japanese army, an army which, by the way, has overtaken Britain for the amount spent each year. Self-defense force gives the impression of some sort of dad's army, if you're familiar with the old BBC comedy program. Well, I'm not. Excuse me. A program on the national broadcaster NHK showed that although Japan gave an amount of money second only to the U.S. for the cause, Japan was notably left out of full-page ads in dailies from the Kuwaitis thanking those that had liberated them from the demon Saddam. This, of course, was in Gulf War I. Japanese people didn't take this ingratitude very well. Here, the fear factor used by the government is the threat of North Korea to justify involvement in this farce in Iraq. We have to support America, the story goes, or we will be left to the wolves. It's an involvement which is pissing off our neighbors, China and South Korea, to no end. Japan has had to break its constitution to become involved with Georgia's big adventure due to pressure from the U.S., a constitution that was written for them by the U.S. at the end of World War II, right? Sorry to rant, Mike, but here is another country whose population wants nothing to do with this fiasco. And for someone who has never been to Japan, you are spot on when you announce that the Liberal Democratic Party, in power now for 55 years, is neither liberal nor democratic in nature. Greg, Tokyo Bureau Chief. Well, thank you, Greg. Japanese Defense Forces. It's the Japanese Army. Oh, no. This guy. All right. David is calling.
Hello? Dave.
Yes, David.
I just want to call.
This is our right-wing David who calls this program and just irritates the hell out of me, but we still let him on the air.
Hey, you showing me some love today, huh?
No, I don't show you any love at all, David. I have nothing to give you. I just let you on the air because you're the only right-winger who calls this program. That's the only reason I let you on.
I'm the only one?
I really think that, you know, what you have to say is worthless, but go ahead.
Well, basically, what I'm a little bit frustrated on Bush because he's spending too much. You liberals should be happy. He's giving you a $400 billion Medicaid prescription drug benefit. He's letting
That's a joke, David, and you know it. Hold on. The Congressional Budget Office, another one of these unnamed sources, said today it's not $400 billion. It's going to be $650 billion, and that's over the next 10 years. And in the 12th to 13th year, it's going to approach $1.2 trillion. David, you have to understand something. When you call this program, first of all, I'm smarter than you, okay? You've got to understand that. I am much smarter than you. I'm more well-informed. Secondly, I'm smarter than every single a right-wing talk show host in America. And third, and most important, my listeners are smarter than you and smarter than every talk show host in America, right-wing, and some of them are even smarter than me. So don't run that kind of riff on this program, David, because it makes you look like a bigger fool than you apparently are.
Like I'm trying to say, $400 billion, like you said, is going to be immensely more. I figure it's going to be close to like $2 or $3 trillion, because it's
Don't say the liberals like it. We don't like it at all because it does not give old people a prescription drug benefit. David, don't be a moron. What it does do is give the private pharmaceutical and insurance industries a huge pile of gold that they can suck up and do with what they choose. Now, David, I said, I'm smarter than you, my listeners are smarter than you, so you shouldn't come on this program and say stuff like that, because it continues to make you look like a fool.
Well, no, regardless what it doesn't do, it's still a whole lot of money.
what the hell kind of a non sequitur statement is that? Regardless of what it doesn't do, it's still a whole lot of money. What does that mean, David?
What that means is, I didn't like it when he signed it in the first place. I wish he didn't do it in the first place.
Well, that's because you're a conservative, and that means you don't have a heart. You have a chunk of metal inside that drives your blood through your body and keeps you alive, but you're like Dick Cheney. You didn't like it because it would allow old people, for Christ's sake, to get a drug benefit, and you don't like that.
No.
Yes.
It's true. No, that's not the point.
Yeah,
the point is, Mike, smaller government, whatever this.
All right, that you put it smaller government. I put it the way I put it. We're saying the same thing. You are a heartless right wing Republican, David. That's redundant. You are a heartless Republican, David. And again, whatever you bring to this program is nonsense. It's just nonsense. But go ahead.
You're trying to say that I'm bringing nonsense, but that I'm just a little bit frustrating. The spending is too much. Period. Bush has given us tax cuts. He's strong on defense. I agree with the tax cuts.
Strong on defense? What is he defending us against?
Oh, my God.
No. Seriously. Look at David Kaye's report. Look at George Bush's bitch, David Kaye, and look what the bitch reported. What is George Bush defending us against, David?
You know what? I called a few times ago.
Let me put you on hold. I'll give you another minute, but I've got to take a break here. We'll come back and let this flying monkey go ahead and say some more. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
In my fatigues, black jacket and army boots, my neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. The only side.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the legal huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-four past the hour, we're talking with the only monkey that calls this program, and that's David, the flying monkey from the Flying Monkey Right. Truck driver David, who says he's driving in Lexington. I really don't believe him. I think he works at a Burger King in Kentucky.
You want to hear my air horn?
I really don't, David, okay. But anybody can get an air horn. But But anyway, go ahead. Tell me again why you're getting apparently a little upset on Bush. And one last thing. When you say that Bush is strong on defense, again, you have to understand that everyone listening to this program and me are smarter than you are. Bush is a weakling on defense. Bush was a deserter. You want to know who's strong on defense? John Kerry was strong on defense. Wesley Clark was strong on defense. Max Cleland was strong on defense. Daniel Inouye was strong on defense. These are Democrats. Your Republicans, every last rat bastard one of them, David, are cowards and deserters. They are not strong on defense.
Mike, when I call your show, I never call you any names. But as
I'm not calling you a name. I'm saying the people who run this country are rat bastards. And if it wasn't for the FCC, I would put it in much more salty tones, David. Trust me.
Okay.
Now go ahead.
What I want to say about spending is, our government was not designed. Our founding fathers did not design our government to be our health care.
Our founding fathers said you were two-thirds of a human being.
Well, that was, you know what?
Now, deal with that. Don't talk to me about the founding fathers. The founding fathers, was it three-fifths? I'm sorry. They said you were 60% of a human being.
You know what? I'm going to address that right here and right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Founding fathers, when they put the Constitution, it was greater. The paper they wrote was greater than they were. It allowed.
Well, then don't quote them. Don't quote them. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me about what the founding fathers wanted.
What I'm saying is, our government is not designed to be our retirement program.
Do you think the founding fathers would have approved of the Patriot Act? Do you think they would have approved?
They would not have.
Okay, how about preemptive war?
You have to understand.
How about entanglements in foreign governments with the truces and alliances?
Well, you know what?
How about nation building?
Answer something. Please.
I'm not asking you these questions, David, so you can answer them. I'm asking you these questions to make you look like a bigger fool than you are.
Our founding fathers never seen our government growing so big and our GDP being almost $20 trillion a year.
Oh, for Christ's sake, David! The founding fathers were dealing with what, 300,000 people? Come on, get real.
That's what I'm saying.
The founding fathers were dealing with 13 colonies, David. Get real.
They did not foresee our country being this big. But what I'm saying is simply this: as spending grows like this, and as the Democratic Party gets stronger, it was a tax revolt that started this country, and it's going to be a tax revolt that changes.
No, it wasn't. It was taxation without representation. Again, get your facts straight, David, because when you call this program, you are way, way outscored.
Mike, you're getting me on. I said a tax revolt. Yes, it was taxation without representation. This led to a tax revolt.
Okay, David, can you bring it ahead two centuries and talk to me about your twerp in the White House? Talk to me about the person that is starting to make even a flying monkey like you sick.
No, he's not making me sick.
Oh, you're going to vote? Hey, David, you going to vote for him again?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, massa, take the whip out and beats my ass again. Yes, sir. I'm sorry I didn't pick the cotton right. Is that what you're telling me, David?
What I'm telling you is the Democratic Party is the party of low expectations.
Oh, stop it, David. Listen, I've had enough of you tonight. Call me next month. Yeah. Call me after February 27th. Adios.
Talk is cheap. Don't be making promises that you can't keep. If you don't like this little song I'm singing, just grin and bear it. All I can say is if the shoe fits, wear it, and you must keep talking. Please try to make it rhyme. Because your man is on vacation and your mouth is working.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
One soccer mom says she can speak for herself, and she's not saying what some politicians claim she is. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. It happened during a 2001 U.S. Senate debate over a bill to improve automobile fuel efficiency standards. A Democratic senator claimed soccer moms would get upset if anyone changed their SUVs. The measure failed. That result and the comment angered Betsy Rosenberg, a San Francisco reporter and soccer mom.
Those of us who were soccer moms said, "You didn't ask us. We do care about fuel efficiency. That's a plus. That's not a minus. You misspoke for us." So we decided to organize a grassroots campaign and try to educate soccer moms and other concerned Americans about not only the need for more fuel-efficient family-sized vehicles, but the presence of the same in compact sizes.
Rosenberg co-founded a campaign called Don't Be Fueled, Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles. It promotes safer, more efficient automobiles, including minivans and SUVs. It calls for a boycott of huge gas-guzzling vehicles, and the Don't Be Fueled campaign takes issue with the notion that bigger is safer.
And the irony is, the bigger the gas guzzler, the taller the vehicle, the more unsafe you are, and we all are around you, not to mention our children's lungs and contributing to global warming, greenhouse gas buildup. So what's sold as a safer vehicle is au contraire, just the opposite.
Rosenberg says her campaign will continue to push for more clean car options coming out of Detroit. As Rosenberg puts it, she's tired of both U.S. automakers and the federal government dragging their wheels on safer, more fuel-efficient cars. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I feel very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from great advisors to whom I listen.
That's your boy, David. Jesus. Well, David, to our Flying Monkey Right hamburger stand operator, listen, you got an email here from California, from Margie. David, I highly suggest you take off your blinders. Critical thinking is necessary at this point in the history of our country. If you are an example of the uninformed electorate, I mourn for the United States of America. Get a fact straight. One, just one. You are so ignorant you don't understand the issues. How can you be so brand loyal to the Bush regime? Are you in the 1% of all of the top earners in this country? If not, you are not benefiting from any policy of this illegal administration. Here's something to get your sphincter twisted. President Clinton will be touted as one of the greatest presidents in our history books. W will hopefully go to Den Haag, to be brought up on war crimes in the Netherlands. Your ignorance, David, is only exceeded by that of W. That's from Margie. I got a couple more that I can't read on the air, David. No, I don't understand that. I think David is a classic example of, here's a guy, let's assume he is a truck driver. Here's a guy who would not have his job were it not for the Teamsters Union. That's first. I'm not saying he's a member of the Teamsters right now, but he wouldn't have the job if he weren't a member of the Teamsters Union. Whatever he's making because other men, if he's not a member of the Teamsters Union, other men went to the mat and women to get him the wage that he's making. George W. Bush and his neo-fascist buddies would take the union that David should belong to if he doesn't and destroy it. That's just for openers. That's just the beginning. David, you don't understand, and I can't explain it to you. Every time George W. Bush or anybody in his cabinet or his government does anything to this country, they are essentially lifting their leg and urinating all over you. Do you not understand that? Their tax policies, their education policies, their environmental policies, their foreign policies, their policies regarding Social Security or Medicare or SSI, every single issue, David, is designed to take a person like you and snap you in two. They care as much about you as you care for some North Korean peasant someplace. In other words, not in the least. Now, is that true because I'm saying it? No, David. It's true if you look at their policies. Now, I asked you one time before when you called this program for you to tell me one single thing that has occurred in 3 years of this criminal, corrupt, disgusting administration that has any sort of benefit for you. And you said to me that cheesy-ass $300 advance on your tax return that you got 2 years ago. You called it a tax cut. Do you remember? You remember? Well, I got my $300 tax cut. And when I pointed out to you, it wasn't a tax cut. It was a rebate. It was money that was given to you ahead of time, and it was going to be deducted from your that year's tax return. You remember that, David? And since that time... every time I ask you, what has this administration done for you, you've not been able to answer. I don't understand. You're like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders, David. I mean, every time you call this program, I'm just astonished. I keep thinking one of these days you're going to call and say, Mike, you know, I finally come out of the ether. That son of a bitch would like to see me go down. And I don't want to go down. I don't know how old you are, David. I don't know if you're married. I don't know if you have family. I don't know if you have a mama or a grandmammy. I have no idea. But if you do have family, this man is doing everything he can to make your family poor, sick, uneducated, and to destroy it. And if you got any young nephews or sons or daughters, nieces, he'd like to take them and put them in the military and kill them. And you're going to support this neo-fascist bastard, David? You're a sick man. You're a sick man, dude. You better get right with God, because George Bush has your ass. Speaking of George Bush, oh my God, don't tell me. And I've had him holding on because of David. Oh Christ. This is George Bush calling from Washington D.C.
Hello, Mickey.
Yeah, how you doing, George?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to know that rat-thinking Americans like that David there called show. But yeah. I have a statement to make.
You've got a statement? You want to make it on this? Why don't you call Britt Hume? Why don't you make it on Fox?
Karl Rove doesn't want me talking too much.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, you come to the right place.
But my statement...
All right.
...is of great importanceness to the American people...
All right, George.
...recently off the coast of one of our brave coalition people...
Yeah.
...in the Baltic Sea...
Baltic.
...amidst... 168,000 tons of ammunition stuff.
Yeah.
We have found lethal quantities of weapons of mass production-related canisters.
You have?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Belonging to that criminal mastermind, Adolf Hitler.
Hitler? Uh-huh.
These have been buried in the Baltic Sea... or ocean, for over 60 years. It is time that we Americans take preemptive measures.
Yeah. Against whom?
Against Nazi Germany.
Nazi Germany doesn't...
Well, they are definitely part of the new axis of evil.
Nazi Germany doesn't exist, George.
What?
Nazi Germany doesn't exist. Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt destroyed them 60 years ago, 70 years ago.
So I'm too late.
You're too late. Is David Kay aware of this find that you're talking about in the Baltic Sea?
It's on the news.
Okay.
I only read the headlines.
I see. And you read something?
And my advisors advise me on all manner of advisory material.
Yeah, they do, don't they? But there is no Nazi Germany left, George. Now, you should know that, since your grandfather was active in starting them up to begin with. But you see, the rest of the world defeated them, so it doesn't exist anymore. Hello?
I was watching on the TV. They had them on the History Channel.
Okay, you were watching the History Channel. Do you understand? That's the History Channel. It's not a news channel.
Is that why it was in black and white?
That's why it was in black and white. That's right. That's the History Channel.
Once again, the American people have risen to the occasion. And as your president, I firmly am against Nazi Germany.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And the Vichy French.
The Vichy French, yeah, okay, all right. Well, again, I don't know how, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but you were not watching.
So I can't use this in my campaign?
You can't. No, you can't. Well, you could. And as a matter of fact, excuse me.
They were comparing me. They were comparing me to that guy.
Hitler?
And I ain't never had no mustache.
I see. Wait a second. George, you know, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking about. Yeah, you were watching MSNBC, and you're absolutely right. You need to go out there tomorrow. You're going to meet with some head of state tomorrow or sometime this week. You met with the Polish president earlier. You need your next photo op when you sit there. Photo op is when you sit there with your guest, you understand?
Yeah.
And they're taking pictures. Turn to the camera and say, we've got to defeat Nazi Germany, okay?
Well, but they've got weapons of mass stuff.
Right, and you've got to appeal to the American people to join you in your fight against Nazi Germany because they have weapons of mass stuff. You've got to say it just like that, George. Don't let Karl Rove or Andy Card or any of these other little weasels talk you out of it, okay?
They're misleadifying me.
They are misleadifying you. And I'll tell you, the Nazis, you know, if you don't stop them in the Baltic Sea, George, they're going to be marching down the streets of Washington, D.C. You've got to do something about this, and you've got to do it fast.
I also want to answer some questions that you might have about my recent State of the Union thing that it did.
Okay, why didn't you mention the commitment of billions of dollars to AIDS that you mentioned last year? What happened to that? Okay, why didn't you bring up the fact that no weapons of mass destruction have been found by anybody? Why didn't you bring that up?
No news is good news.
That's true. Okay. Why didn't you bring up the fact that you have removed from this economy 3 million jobs? Why didn't you bring that up?
Those jobs will take place in my new Martian colony.
I see. Okay. Listen, you know, it is here in the East. I don't know. Well, you're in Washington.
We're clearing space.
It's 10:45. It's way past your bedtime. You need to get your cup of cocoa and pack it in for tonight. You understand what I'm saying there, Mr.?
I don't do cocoa anymore.
What?
That was part of my transgressive youth.
No, cocoa. Cocoa. Not coca. Cocoa.
Oh.
Cocoa. It's brown stuff, powder. You put it in milk. Oh, never mind. Oh, Jesus.
Laura said, if I'm nice, she'll make me waffles tomorrow.
She'll make you waffles. Okay, well.
But that brings to mind the waffling.
Yeah.
See how I slipped that in? The waffling of these presidential would-be.
The Democrats.
Them guys.
Them guys, yeah. You know, whoever gets a nomination is going to whip your ass. You understand that, don't you?
I'm fully prepared for whatever debate Smeagol wants to give me.
No. It probably won't be Smeagol. It'll probably be Kerry, Dean, possibly Kucinich.
Kerry's that French-looking guy?
That's the French-looking guy, right. Yeah.
puts mayonnaise on his
he does indeed.
Philadelphia cheesesteak.
He does indeed.
It's wrong.
It is wrong. Listen, George.
I need some ribs.
You did that the other day with the press when you went to that little diner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you make a lot of money, you got to pay for the ribs.
That's right.
It only
That's
makes
right.
sense.
Yeah. Listen, take your cup of cocoa and get a good night's rest, okay? And remember, when you have your next photo op, when they're asking the world leader next to you and asking you
stuff. Very, very serious stuff.
Bring up.
The mustard gas.
That's right. Bring up the Nazis, okay?
The Nazis. The mustard gas.
That's it.
Under the Baltic Ocean.
That's it. That's
by Norway.
By Norway. That's it. Okay?
I'm taking my case to the American people.
You do that, George.
Thank you for this opportunity, Mickey.
Yeah, you're...
I hope I have your support.
Yes, well, you've got something from me, but I can't tell you what it is because this is family radio. Okay?
No matter because Diebold has it all up in the works.
That's true.
But I'm not supposed to talk about that because Carl told me not to.
Don't even mention it. Just bring up the Nazi thing over and over, okay?
Nazi. Gotcha.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right, George.
Bye.
All right, you have a nice evening. You know, you've got to start screening these calls a little bit better, Kathy. You got to screen the calls a little bit better. Paul is calling from Detroit. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. David should be well aware that Mr. Bush, on Thanksgiving Day Eve, 2002, signed an executive order which allowed Mexican drivers to use all of our nation's highways.
Well, that's going to cost David. You're right. David eventually is going to lose his job, and he'll probably lose it to a so-called guest worker from Guatemala or Mexico or wherever. I have nothing against people coming to this country. But corporate America will bring these people in, and whereas David might be making $18 an hour, David's $18 an hour job is going to disappear because there's going to be 5,000 people who will do it for $5 an hour.
Well, the Teamsters estimate that there are 30,000 drivers ready to enter the United States from Mexico. And what happened immediately after that executive order was signed, and Bush totally ignored all environmental impact studies in signing that executive order. So Public Citizen and the Teamsters immediately went to the Ninth District Court, and they got a stay. The judge ruled that, Mr. Bush, you've got to have your environmental impact studies before you can allow this.
Mm-hmm.
So last month, George Bush convinced the Supreme Court to hear the case, to override the Ninth Circuit, and the Supreme Court is going to take the case in June or early July. And they're still fighting to avoid those environmental impact studies.
All right, now they're going to take the case. The Supreme Court is based on what, since they only take questions of constitutional issues?
Well, I read in Fine Law last month, I don't have that in front of me,
mm-hmm.
that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case, not to take the case, but to hear the case,
right.
That the Ninth Circuit has stopped that executive order, and they're going to make a judgment on it, evidently.
Okay, maybe it was that Bush just didn't have the power to make that via the Constitution to make that sort of decision. I'm just curious. I'm not challenging Fine Law or what you read. I was just curious. Why would the Supreme Court hear it?
Yes.
Why would any federal court hear it?
Yes. The federal court heard it. Ninth District Circuit Court heard it because they upheld the what the Teamsters were claiming that the administration is supposed to by law have impact studies because the Mexican fleet is ancient.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and not to mention the pollution device, no anti-pollution devices on some of these trucks. Also, the axles ready to fall apart, the tires ready to come unglued. They're asking for trouble.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with Mexican truck drivers as long as the standards in this country are met.
Well, they also have a problem that they can't, they're reading. And being able to read the English signs also.
Places
like Toledo are really going to be hurt because the number of dirty trucks rolling through that area, people living along the highways are going to be impacted by this.
It's going to be pretty bad. Paul, thank you. We got a break here. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you checking in.
It is wrong. wrong for the Congress to discriminate against Mexican trucks.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered.
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided.
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastards' own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Well, we did it again. Didn't get the Scotty McClellan sound in from yesterday's press briefing. We'll do it coming back after the top of the hour. And again, excuse me, for the folks who have joined us on KTRC in Santa Fe, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at the Capitol Rotunda there in Santa Fe, Dennis Kucinich will be endorsed for president by former U.S. Marine and U.N. Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter. I know a lot of you folks in Santa Fe know about this, but for those of you who don't, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Capitol Rotunda, Scott Ritter endorses Dennis Kucinich for president. And then tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock in Taos at the community center there, Taos, New Mexico talk, it's called Seeking Peace in a Time of Frontier Justice. And it's sponsored by the Action Coalition there. So it's free, by the way. Seating is limited to 450. There will be a book signing, Scott Ritter's book, of course. So check it out tomorrow in Santa Fe and Taos, New Mexico. Will is calling from Atlanta. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Great show. You know, the last time I voted for president, I voted for Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
And my vote clearly did not count the way I look at it. I'm not a constitutional scholar, but one of my customers is, and I'm satisfied after talking to him that it was unconstitutional that the Supreme Court appointed Bush as president.
I think so. Plus the fact you voted here in Atlanta, here in Georgia, which means your vote probably didn't get counted in the tally anyway.
Right. And my problem with Dennis Kucinich, looking at his website, I'm a worker, and I think the 80% working class is America.
Right.
That's who built it
right
from the beginning.
Right.
And even Dennis Kucinich, is his page on immigrant rights.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your position, and I enjoy the Hispanics that I work with in the construction business.
Right.
What I object to, and I'm happy for them to come here and become Americans, but I, as a worker, I'm reluctant to go along with this. I mean, obviously, I have no choice because both the Democrats and the Republicans are, in essence, giving amnesty to illegal immigrants.
Hey, Will, let me get you to hold on. I've got to take a break here over the top of the hour. We'll come back and finish this up, this issue of the immigrants, okay? Quick break here. We shall return. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An explosion near an ammunition dump in southern Afghanistan killed 7 U.S. soldiers and wounded 3 others on Thursday, the U.S. Army said. U.S. Central Command said in a statement the soldiers were killed when working near an arms cache in the southern province of Ghazni. An interpreter was also injured and another soldier was missing. Nearly 2 million people are expected to exhaust their state unemployment benefits in the first half of the year without access to more government aid or a regular paycheck, according to a study released Thursday. The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities based its study on Labor Department data of jobless workers who began receiving regular unemployment checks in the last half of 2003. Republicans who control Congress say a third extension of the program, providing 13 weeks of emergency benefits, isn't necessary with unemployment declining, but Democrats hope to force an about-face on the issue in an election year. Facing a new Democratic frontrunner in John Kerry, George W. Bush's reelection campaign is quietly shifting gears, preparing for the possibility that it will confront a war hero and current senator. But the line of attack is the same. Whether Howard Dean or Curry, the Democrats' nominee would be a left-leaning New Englander who wants to raise taxes and reverse course on Iraq, campaign officials and Bush advisors say.
I just got attacked by Robert Novak.
That's New Hampshire activist Brad Carr, who has filed an assault complaint against CNN pundit Robert Novak for allegedly assaulting him outside a New Hampshire restaurant on Tuesday. In an IE America exclusive interview, Carr explains what happened.
I followed Robert Novak out and confronted him about the Valerie Plame incident, and I called him a traitor for outing a CIA agent, which is a federal offense, which he's not being held accountable for. He was heading towards his bus, and he turned around and grabbed me and shoved me and attempted to strike me. And some people who were standing there prevented him from doing that.
Anti-media groups have called for Novak to issue a public apology and to hand in his resignation from CNN. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
A giant snowball stopped Dutch trains in their tracks Wednesday on a key route, and young pranksters thrilled by a rare snowfall were the prime suspects. Traffic on the Apeldoorn-Amersfoort route that also leads to Berlin was temporarily suspended. Weather experts say the first heavy snowfall for years could cause major traffic disruption. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Why is it that our national policymakers are so robustly optimistic and filled with such can-do enthusiasm when it comes to shoveling billions of our tax dollars into big federal projects favored by wealthy campaign donors? but fall into dismal depths of negativity and dispirited cries of no-can-do pessimism when it comes to paying for the things the majority of us Americans want and desperately need. Take health care, a glaring national need not only for the 43 million people without any coverage, but also for the many millions more who have insurance policies that are so inadequate, expensive, and riddled with insurance company loopholes that their coverage is next to useless. The prestigious Institute of Medicine has just issued a report saying that our country has a swelling health care crisis and that policymakers should respond with a universal program to provide affordable, high-quality health care to all. How did policymakers respond? With a big no way. Tommy Thompson, Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, led the naysaying. "I just don't think it's in the cards," he shrugged. "I don't think that administratively or legislatively it's feasible." This guy is America's top health care official, faced with a crucial issue that personally affects the majority of Americans, yet he whimpers that good health care for everyone is simply beyond America's ability, so he won't even try for it. Ironically, the Institute's report and plea for action came the same day that Bush announced that he wanted to spend unlimited billions of our tax dollars to build a space station on the moon and send astronauts to Mars. His political aide said the futuristic Mars shot was a reflection of Bush's optimistic nature. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine, but how about we bring some of that optimism down to Earth where we all live? They should at least try to meet the real needs of real people in the here and now. If they're not up to this job, let's find someone who is.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the hour of the program I just hate because I know a lot of people have to leave and go get some sleep. All right. Where were we? Oh, that's right. We're talking with Will. Will, okay, we're back. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike, I appreciate it.
Sure.
My feeling is if I can vote and it doesn't count because they cheat and commit crimes in Florida and unconstitutional decisions in the Supreme Court, Dennis Kucinich says an awful lot of terrific stuff that I completely agree with, but his immigration policy is essentially the same as Bush's, with the net effect being to break down the 80% working class, the middle class, in order to protect the interests of the false elite that Bush represents and the racist, fascist, mm-hmm. Republican Nazis that the truck driver that called in earlier is actually supporting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who the Republicans are. They're the racists. But and Kucinich also is not saying anything about the obvious assault on America of 9/11 that we know Bush was in on. Anybody looks at the Booker Elementary video, and anybody can download it on the Internet, on the mirrors that still exist, because some places are missing it now,
mm-hmm.
interestingly enough.
Right.
You can see that he was in on 9/11, and it's just indisputable. Nobody can persuade me to not believe what my lying eyes see. I mean, you can look at the videotape. You know he's in on it. And Kucinich isn't doing anything about it. The lady from DeKalb County, Cynthia McKinney,
mm-hmm.
she was nothing but a vaccine. She alluded to some corollary of a notion of treason and completely backed off of it, got ensconced up in an Ivy League...
Now, that's not really true. She was gutted just like a catfish by a lot of people in the so-called Israeli lobby in DeKalb County, also by Republicans who crossed over. No, Cynthia didn't back off.
Well, no, she did. She stepped away from it, and
she was thrown she was thrown out of office. Will.
Well, she disowned the notion of accusing Bush of making money on 9/11 when obviously he created 9/11. John Ashcroft was not flying commercial aviation for the month before it happened.
I understand.
I mean, we know that they were warned. We knew.
Right.
We know that they withheld a response. There's even some question as to whether it was a jet that hit the Pentagon. But my point is why should I vote if the candidates? I mean, John Kerry is a skull and bones fraternity brother of George Bush. You know, it didn't do anything about bringing the people to justice who sent us to Vietnam in the first place. I mean, as any legitimate Vietnam vet should try to do, for the sake of his dead comrades. You know, so for Kucinich to not be pointing the finger at the Bush criminality to get us in Afghanistan and Iraq, and by the way, there's a bumper crop in opium this year. Surprise, surprise. This is the same people that were running the drugs out of the Golden Triangle.
Okay, you're not saying Kucinich is involved in this.
I'm saying by remaining silent on the crimes that are so obvious, he's being a vaccine.
All right, well, I understand. I've got to move on, Will. I understand what you're saying. It's my complaint, too, that there are enough Democrats who in my opinion, have backbone and spine and integrity and morals and ethics, whether it's Barbara Lee or Dennis Kucinich or whoever it is, and they're not John Lewis right here from Atlanta, who took the beatings and the fire hoses and the biting dogs over in Alabama struggling for human rights. But I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. But Will, I have to leave it there. I've got to leave it there, pal. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in. I understand the question. I understand the issue that Will is bringing up. I've brought it up myself. I understand. All right, we're going to do the sound from Simple Scotty. But Donald and Augusta sent this in. I just have to share some of it with you. Mike, please read this on the air to David for me. And this is the flying monkey who calls in here periodically, David, the truck driver. Donald writes, I'm an African-American who owns his own business and makes his own way in life. David, you have not arrived yet. We all, African-Americans, Democrats, low-income persons in this society, any color, and the lower middle class have a way to go before we can say we're part of the American society today. I feel as a business owner, David, who makes a pretty decent salary, that I have an obligation to give back to my community and to help those persons in this society who have not made it yet. If it takes my paying more in taxes to secure Social Security for the millions in this society who need it, that's okay with me. If it takes my paying more taxes to make sure poor people can get health care, that's okay with me. If it takes my paying more in taxes so we do not have homeless people on the street, that's okay with me. If it takes my paying more in taxes so seniors who made a way for us in this country can have health care and prescription drugs, that's okay with me. If it takes my paying more in taxes to educate our children, that's okay with me. You see, David, this is what it means to be a concerned citizen of America, not the selfish little bastard you and your Republican cohorts are. I benefited from Bush's tax cuts and can actually see a difference in my paycheck. Can you say the same? Are you one of those little idiots who's still wanting to see that cut in your taxes that's never going to come? If I have to give it back, my tax cut, so others can do better, that's okay with me. Unlike you, David, it bothers me to see my fellow man and woman suffer while I live in great comfort. People tell me I'm crazy because I do so much for people. I live by this credo, David. To whom much is granted in this life, much is expected. If I were a total selfish jackass like yourself, my credo would be, to whom much is granted in this life, well, I'm better off than everyone else, so the hell with them. That's the Republican credo. You see, David, the question is how much wealth is enough for the wealthy people in this society, and is it worth sacrificing the people of America for it? You will never see the so-called middle-class tax cut Bush promised you, because middle-class to Bush is someone who makes $200,000 or more. I'm quite sure, listening to you on the radio, with the lack of intelligence and the lack of knowledge that you display, that you're nowhere near that income level, and probably never will be. Donald in Augusta. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, David. All right, I know you're on hold, and I'm going to get to you. But first, we had other fish to fry last night. We wanted to get to Simple Scotty McClellan from yesterday, because yesterday was the day that David Kaye spilled his guts and said that the entire Bush administration were lying, murderous warmongers who took us someplace we had no business going based on, well, lies. The reporters tried to hammer Simple Scotty yesterday on Weaponsgate. You don't succeed in hammering this moron, but they tried. First reporter said, Scott, David Kaye said on the Hill today that he supports the idea of an independent investigation into the intelligence failures about what Iraq had in terms of weapons. Does the administration support that idea?
And I think our position at this point, we want the Iraq survey group to complete the important work that it has undertaken. That work is still a work in progress. There is a new head, Charles Dulfer, of the Iraq survey group. We need to let him get in there and complete the work that Dr. Kaye started.
Complete the work that Dr. Kaye started, who was completing the work that Scott Ritter started, who was completing the work that Clinton handled with the 1998 bombing, who was completing the work of the U.N. weapons inspectors, who were completing the work of 12 years of sanctions, which was completing the work of the first Iraq war, which was completing the work of the Iraq-Iran war. It'll just go on forever. Want it simple, Scotty? As long as your pissant of a boss is in office, it'll go on and on and on. Now, Helen Thomas, this is hard to understand, but listen up. Helen Thomas and Simple Scotty go back and forth in the next two clips. Helen begins. Are you saying, then, that you still expect weapons to be found when the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, and so forth have basically written that off?
Helen, I think I've addressed this question over the last couple of days. What we know is that Saddam Hussein's regime was a gathering threat. In a post-September 11th world, it's important that we confront those threats before it's too late. And before, Dr. Kaye himself has stated that it was a very dangerous place. The president talked about you had a dangerous man in a dangerous part of the world. And after September 11th, this president is acting decisively to make sure that we are doing everything we can to protect the American people, because we want to do everything we can to prevent something like that from ever happening again. But that the work of the Iraq survey group is ongoing.
The three questions you probably couldn't hear there is Helen saying, I didn't ask you that. And then she says, what threats? Has he ever threatened us? And there at the end, do you still expect to find weapons? The thing I don't understand... There are two reporters there that I have a great deal of respect for, Helen Thomas and Russell Mokyber. There's a couple more. But what I don't understand is why they don't agree before they go into this little room where it's like an abattoir of the truth in there. I mean, all he does is butcher it and slaughter it. But I don't understand why these reporters don't get together out in the hall and say, all right, look, Helen, you ask the question, and we will all keep asking the same question over and over and over until the little bastard walks out, because he's not going to answer. But it'll make great press. It'll make, no pun intended, it'll make great press. If we, the press, the White House press corps, keep asking him the same question over and over again until he just folds his tent and leaves, because he will not answer. He'll just keep repeating himself until he realizes what we're doing and he'll walk out. And then tomorrow when we all come to work, we ask him the same question again, over and I don't understand why they don't do that. I truly don't. Despite the fact that he isn't answering her simple questions about finding weapons, Helen presses on. She says, that's not answering the question. I'm asking you if you found the weapons. You're doing a beautiful job here of filibustering, Scott.
Thank you, Helen. We've already reconfirmed that it was the right decision to remove Saddam Hussein from power. The world, I think a lot of people say so. The world is a safer and better place. The world is a safer and better place because Saddam Hussein has been removed from power. America is more secure. It was the right decision then, and we know that it was the right decision today.
Isn't that insane? Isn't that insane? The world is a safer and better place because Saddam Hussein has been removed from power. America is more secure. That's simply not true. I mean, anybody who has graduated from elementary to middle school can tell you that that's not true. And yet, there he stands, Scott McClelland, saying this stuff. And as much as I respect Helen Thomas and Russell Mokyber and a couple other people in the White House press corps, it still is amazing to me that they allow this to go on. I realize there's nothing they can do to make the rat bastard tell the truth. There's no power on earth that can do that. But they can keep repeating the question and just make him look like a fool. I guess they're afraid they'll make themselves look like fools, huh?
I'm a driver. I'm a winner. Things are going to change. I can feel it.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Okay, back to the press briefing yesterday after David Kaye had put the truth out there for the Senate Armed Services Committee and the American public to understand, finally, if there's anybody still left, and apparently there is, numbers of people, millions of people, who will not accept the fact that George W. Bush is an unmitigated liar and that everybody in his administration is a liar. And that these lies took us to war that has now cost us about 520 Americans dead, thousands of Iraqis dead, thousands of Afghans dead, and all of it, every single bit of it is based on lies. Because if you believe the 9/11 story, 15 of the 19 bombers that came here were from Saudi Arabia. Not one was from Iraq. Not one was from Afghanistan. They were Saudis. But the Saudis are business partners of the Bushes. And the bin Laden family are business partners of the Bushes. So, obviously, they're, well. So there was David Kaye yesterday putting the truth out there for anyone who wanted to pick up on it. Of course, people who participate in this program have known for a year and a half the truth. I don't know why David Kaye's revelations are just shocking, I tell you, shocking. You mean gambling in my establishment? Oh, I had no idea. The reporter says, Scott, I'd just like to review a couple of past administration statements with you. Rumsfeld said that Saddam had amassed large clandestine stockpiles of biological weapons, large clandestine stockpiles of chemical weapons. Bush, President Bush, referred to stockpiles of anthrax. We know he has. Stockpiles of VX, the biological weapons which he possesses. Secretary Powell said, our conservative estimate is that Iraq today, this was on Friday, this is on February 5th, I'll give you that date later. Powell said, our conservative estimate is that Iraq has a stockpile of between 100 and 500 tons of chemical weapons agents, enough to fill 16,000 battlefield rockets. My question, Scott, do you today stand by the accuracy of those statements?
I would point out to you that the choice was Saddam Hussein's. He had 12 years to come clean. He had some 17 resolutions to come clean. And even then, he was given one final opportunity to comply through Security Council Resolution 1441. He chose to continue to defy the international community. Given his history and given the events of September 11th, we were not going to wait on the good intentions of Saddam Hussein.
Isn't that insane? Is that not a working definition of insanity? It does not address the question. It states categorical untruth. I told y'all I had had more dental work, and it's hard as hell to talk. It states categorical lies. Let me put it that way. When Scott McClellan says he, Saddam, chose to continue to defy the international community, you know and I know, and surely to God, every member of the press sitting there also knows that what Scott McClellan is saying in that moment is nonsense. It's not in this reality. It has nothing to do with reality. He chose to continue to defy the international community. How did he do that? Right. Reporter asked about the lies in Cheney's statement just a week ago. Reporter says, Scott, the vice president, apparently was, in a recent interview on NPR, was pointing to these two trailers that were found in Iraq as conclusive evidence that Iraq did have weapons of mass destruction. Well, I guess I'm going to have to tell you that when we come back. All right. We'll pick it up right there when we come. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Sometimes again it seems all I have is words. Then you finally see my other side. Yeah, but I
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
One soccer mom says she can speak for herself, and she's not saying what some politicians claim she is. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. It happened during a 2001 U.S. Senate debate over a bill to improve automobile fuel efficiency standards. A Democratic senator claimed soccer moms would get upset if anyone changed their SUVs. The measure failed. That result and the comment angered Betsy Rosenberg, a San Francisco reporter and soccer mom.
Those of us who were soccer moms said, "You didn't ask us. We do care about fuel efficiency. That's a plus. That's not a minus. You misspoke for us." So we decided to organize a grassroots campaign and try to educate soccer moms and other concerned Americans about not only the need for more fuel-efficient family-sized vehicles, but the presence of the same in compact sizes.
Rosenberg co-founded a campaign called Don't Be Fueled, Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles. It promotes safer, more efficient automobiles, including minivans and SUVs. It calls for a boycott of huge gas-guzzling vehicles, and the Don't Be Fueled campaign takes issue with the notion that bigger is safer.
And the irony is, the bigger the gas guzzler, the taller the vehicle, the more unsafe you are, and we all are around you, not to mention our children's lungs and contributing to global warming, greenhouse gas buildup. So what's sold as a safer vehicle is au contraire, just the opposite.
Rosenberg says her campaign will continue to push for more clean car options coming out of Detroit. As Rosenberg puts it, she's tired of both U.S. automakers and the federal government dragging their wheels on safer, more fuel-efficient cars. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Okay, we just have a couple of these left. Then we'll come to your phone calls. The reporter wants to know about the lies in Cheney's statements just a week ago. And the reporter says, Scott, the vice president, recent interview on NPR, keeps pointing to these two trailers that were found in Iraq as conclusive evidence that Iraq did have weapons of mass destruction. And he said this recently, as recently as last week. David Kay, however, today says that it is the conclusion of all the experts that these trailers were never used for weapons of mass destruction. Why is the vice president still saying that?
I saw what Dr. Kay said about that, but you know, you can direct questions to the vice president's office if you need to. But again, If you go back to the progress report that was released by the Iraq Survey Group, it showed that Saddam Hussein's regime was indeed in clear violation of Security Council Resolution 1441. And Security Council Resolution 1441 called for serious consequences if he continued to his defiance.
See, there it is again. I mean, the man is obviously insane, or just a good little Nazi. The constant reference to Resolution 1441 that required Saddam to reveal everything, and Saddam and his regime said they revealed everything, and now David Kaye says that everything was revealed after Hans Blix said everything was revealed, and Scott Ritter said everything was revealed, and it just goes on and on. But this little Nazi, Scott McClellan, is going to stand there every day and say the same thing over and over again. Another reporter asked about the problem of Bush's credibility in an election year. The reporter says, well, since neither you nor the president is willing to offer an explanation for how it is that the intelligence was so far off from the reality, then why shouldn't voters this year, this election year, question the president's credibility on the basis for which he took us to war, Scott? If the president wants to wait until all the facts are gathered by the Iraq group, that's one thing. The voters are voting this year, and they're looking at this issue now. Why shouldn't they judge Bush's credibility?
We know that it was a regime that had sought to be dominant in the Middle East. The Middle East is a very dangerous part of the world. and what we are working to achieve in Iraq will help bring about a more secure and more peaceful Middle East. And I've talked about one of the things. I mean, we're moving forward, you know. And, wait. Saddam Hussein was the one who made the choice. He had every opportunity to come clean and comply with his international obligations. Saddam Hussein refused. Saddam Hussein was given a final opportunity. He continued to defy the international community.
Isn't that insane? The part you couldn't hear there, McClellan is saying, and we're moving forward. The reporter says, well, it would have been fine if you'd actually said that before the war instead of citing the weapons stuff. But once again, McClellan, he had every opportunity to come clean and comply with his international obligations. What was he supposed to do? I'm not going to put myself in a position to defend Saddam Hussein. He was as much of a murderous bastard as Noriega, as Bush, as Reagan, as Rumsfeld. You know, the picture of Rumsfeld and Saddam shaking hands, that happened when the rest of the Arab world was condemning Saddam Hussein for using gas against the Iranians. Excuse me. And Reagan sent Rumsfeld over there real quick. Get over there, boy, and tell him that even though he gassed the Iranians, we're okay with that. And provide him more weaponry. Give him whatever he wants. Jesus, these people, I swear, I don't know. They make the Nazis look good. And that's almost impossible. But the lies and the deviousness and the murderous attitude of this Bush crime family. I'm not talking about the Nazis after 1940. I'm talking about from 1933 up until the invasion of Poland. But in the 30s, the Nazis weren't as deceptive as the Bush crime family. The Nazis turned out to be responsible for the deaths of 50 million people on this planet, World War II, and the execution of 6 to 9 million in the death camps. And so far, George W. hasn't approached that, although his grandfather helped fund and finance the Nazis. Jesus, it is so corrupt, it's beyond belief. Now, another fun back and forth, and I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this or not. This time, the reporter's name is John, and he asked the question, just an update for me, Scott, if you could. What's the White House's position on those aluminum tubes that Iraq was caught with?
Again, you're asking me to get into discussions of what the Iraq Survey Group is looking into, all these matters. There was an interim progress report that was put out that talked about what we have learned so far. It was a public document, but it made very clear that, you want to go, I know, line by line on you want to go line by line on pre-war intelligence. And I'm saying that let's let the Iraq Survey Group complete its work. Then we can compare. Then we can compare what we knew before the war with what we have learned since the war.
You said prior to the war that those aluminum tubes were destined for
centrifugal. And I think Dr. K has since talked about.
And I'm wondering if
Dr. K, and in his interim report, has talked about efforts toward a nuclear program in Iraq. He's already addressed it. So he's already addressed that matter. No, I know what you're trying to do, but I think I've addressed the matter.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, David K. did address the matter. He said there was nothing there. Nothing. Absolutely, by God, nothing. And the reporter says, I'm wondering, do you still believe what you said before the war? And Simple Scotty says, no, I know what you're trying to do, but I think I've addressed the matter. Scott McClellan is a madman. And he is the front man for a group of insane people. Jesus. Finally, last one, a reporter asks why the 911 Commission can't have more time to finish their important investigation, especially since it took so long for them to get a few, not all, just a couple of the documents, White House documents they requested. The reporter says, regarding the 911 panel, the chairman there says that to do the best job, they need more time. Why is the White House opposed to more time?
We understood that there was a timetable that was agreed to, and so we have been working in a way to help them move forward as quickly as they possibly can, and that's what we will continue to do. But obviously, any such discussions would have to involve Congress as well. This was all agreed to with Congress and the White House involved in those discussions, but it was previously agreed to, and we're hopeful that they can continue to move forward as quickly as they can.
Previously agreed to by this corrupt, filthy outhouse administration, who also agreed not to deficit spend, who also agreed not to get into nation building, who claimed to be compassionate conservative, on and on and on. Scott McClellan is a sick, sick puppy. Beyond all the White House press people working in conjunction to shut this sick bastard down, I don't understand why they all don't just say, I'm sorry, to their assignment editors, I'm sorry, there's no point in going there. We can get better information from the foreign press, we can foreign sources, talking amongst ourselves. Let's just get away from this sickness. All right. Now, we're starting to run out of time again tonight, but we'll take a few calls here. Roger is calling from Manassas, Virginia. I think. Roger? Okay. Nobody there. Richard is calling from Santa Fe. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. It's been a long time, buddy.
Yes, it has.
I'm still listening. I just haven't called.
Oh, that's okay.
Hey, you know, the skull and bone relationship between Bush and Kerry is very interesting to me. You think, if Kerry gets in, and there's an investigation into in all these crimes that Bush has done, do you think their skull and bone ties will let him do like Ford did to Nixon and get him off the hook?
I don't. You know, I have not been able to get my mind around the whole skull and bones thing. I don't know if it's a bunch of fools who go to Yale who get into this little club and drink beer and masturbate and climb on each other and pretend like they're having sex. I have no idea. I don't know if they're part of a cabal to run the world. I have no idea. Here's what I do know. Ford and Nixon were both Republicans. Kerry is a Democrat. Bush is a Republican. Now, it's not up to Kerry. It's up to the United States Congress whether or not they want to bring charges against this criminal, treasonous administration. And as long as the Congress, as long as the House is in control of the Republicans, it will never, ever happen. That's A. Right. Here's B.
Right.
We have a history in this country of not wanting to punish presidents for the most egregious of crimes. The attack on Clinton was perpetrated by sick sons of bitches who have no business breathing the same air that you and I do. But
right.
but the history of this country is once the president's out of office, either let him off the hook or do what Ford did with Nixon, do what George Bush the First did with half of his cabinet. Issue all these pardons and be done with it. And let history be the judge. So I don't see unless something happens that would I'm totally not familiar with. I don't see any kind of justice ever coming down on the head of George Bush or any of his criminal administration. Hell, just take a look at Henry Kissinger. Take a look at Oliver North. Take a look at Elliot Abrams. Take a look at Negroponte. All these people who are still in positions of extreme power, who are responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, and they continue to do business. They continue to suck in air. They continue to remain alive. So will Bush ever have to pay, whether Kerry's president or any? No. If Kucinich was president, no. If Christ was president, no. It's just not going
to
happen.
What parties does Christ belong to?
Democrats.
Hey, listen, Mike, I think the skull and bone thing is real, and I think it's very powerful. And, of course, I'm a conspiracy nut, you know. And I think...
Well, so am I. I'm just saying I don't know what to believe about skull and bones. I just like I don't know what to believe about the Masons.
Yeah, well, their tentacles are all through the intelligence community and all through the Bush thing. And I think because they're both skull and bones, I think if Kerry does start coming on really strong, that it might save him from a bullet. And I think also that I had another point. Oh, yeah. The History Channel.
Uh-huh.
When Georgie called up,
right?
He wasn't hallucinating. That was the news. And we know who the Nazis are.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
Mike, it's great talking to you.
It is, Andy. Don't be a stranger, pal.
Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Take care. All right, where are we? Did I say Andy? That wasn't Andy, was it? No. Who was that? Here's Andy. Here's Andy in Santa Fe. Who was I just talking to, Andy?
Richard,
that's right. I'm sorry, Richard in Santa Fe. Sorry, Richard. Here's Andy in Santa Fe. Hey, Andy.
Mike, I wanted to echo Will's call earlier, and that is that the tell-all tape is Bush at the elementary school the morning of September 11th.
Yeah. Oh,
for sure.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt.
Yeah, anybody could see it. Mm-hmm. And he was critical of Kucinich. And I think Kucinich just doesn't want to get well-stoned. So, he's just biding his...
That's an idea.
Now, the other thing is that you've played a lot of Scotty McClellan, and twice last night and once tonight, he's used the phrase, quote, in a post-September 11th world.
Oh, they keep using that. That's their touchstone.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important part of his... position.
Well, that's to keep all the people who are going to vote to reelect Bush on the reservation. They keep this whole administration is based on fear and lies. September 11th did happen. Of course, what will never come out is the Bush crime family, are solely responsible for it happening. But they will continue to use it because the uninformed or the willfully ignorant in this country, which comprises tens of millions of people, will hear that. The Christian fundamentalists will hear it. All these people will hear it. And that's what will make them vote for Bush again.
Right. I think that what he's actually saying, though, is that in the world that we've now created...
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks, Mike.
That's true, too. Thank you. I appreciate it. I wouldn't think, Andy, they were saying that consciously. I don't know. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I think I have. I'm not sure. David is calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Yeah, hi, Mike. There's a lot more positive in the news in this. This morning, I happened to catch C-SPAN, and they've had callers calling in all day, in their live segments. And there was a woman who said that she was with Phyllis Schlafly's Freedom Forum, and that she now feels betrayed. And,
on the basis of what, though? Because Bush didn't speak stronger about a defense of marriage amendment to the Constitution?
Well, I guess maybe. But at the same time, no, I think she was talking weapons of mass destruction. You know, because everybody, when you're getting up to 500 people dead, you know, you're finally getting into somebody who is, in the military reserve, the local units, and somebody's kid died, you know. And weapons of mass destruction was not the reason. And, you know, this man is a bait-and-switch used car salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's people, con artists know that when you rip somebody off, they're likely not to to tell the cops because they're too ashamed
they're too
of
ashamed.
Getting ripped off.
Hey, David, let me put you on hold. We got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're not going to have too much time, but let me put you on hold. We'll come back right after this break. Stay with us, folks.
Nobility are famous for no reason. Mary Antoinette enjoyed her cake. She caused a revolution when she was not sure, and her husband lost his head for that mistake. The Hindenburg was a giant Zeppelin. Its makers made a minor oversight. Before they filled it up with explosive gas, they should have fixed the nose smoking light.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
About 4 minutes before the hour, we're talking with David, called in from San Francisco. David, have it about a minute and a half here, pal.
Yeah, I'll jam as quick as I can. You know, as we were talking about the Bercher woman,
Phyllis Schlafly.
Yeah, I was really. It struck me that these reservists that we're sending off to war, a lot of these guys are. They're significant people in our communities: ambulance drivers, cops. Firefighters, significant people. And mm-hmm. when these people get taken out of the economy, that's just making these corporations fatter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if Bush wants to privatize everything, he's putting this country, and well, actually he's putting his corporate buddies in a huge legal liability. If he willfully lied, then all of a sudden they have a joint and several lawsuit against him individually, instead of as a governmental official.
Is it time to impeach him yet?
Well, and that gets into the next angle. With the impeachment, you know, now we don't have to worry so much about whether or not Bush is invincible, and we don't have to get these nitwits like Kerry and the others up in the front runners, you know, as the Democrats. We have a lot more bargaining time. We now just lean on the impeachment and get a good Democrat running, or get Ralph Nader running.
Well, I remember impeachment has to arise in the House. And
if these Birchers and whatnot are as hot as I expect, and what's a Bircher scorned, you know, these people, you know, are the religious right. Yeah. When they think that Bush is the Antichrist, and he likely may be, you know, they're not going to stick around long.
Well,
and then they're going to put their efforts into impeachment, too.
I hope you and I are both alive when that happens. David, we got to go, pal. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Program produced here in Atlanta tonight by Catherine Bay, as always. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. There's some new stuff in the gallery page, so go to MikeMalloy.com, click on gallery, and have fun. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope.
I hope. I really do.
Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
No more lies, no more, no more lies.
Another...
audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that